Welcome to Dharma Glow. We're a community of conscious beings who are devoted to co-creating new earth. We value joy, peace, equity, and love. Our mission is to ignite the essence of our community by sharing tools for liberation and inspiration. Join us on the path to purpose, peace, and universal harmony. Time to come together to awaken our inner radiance. Let's glow, fam. Enjoy this podcast where we showcase some of the brightest minds and hearts in the creative space, in the healing space. It's all here to inspire you. And if you're inspired by what you hear today, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, as that'll really help spread the energy of this movement. Thank you. Enjoy the vibrations. So before we get started, I just wanted to let y'all know that we have monthly community events that bring in great artists from all over the world that are raising consciousness and spreading the vibrations of love. High vibration, cold pressed juices, and all that. On September 25th, we have the magical sounds of Free Soul and Lava. If you don't know their music, you should definitely check it out. I'll be sharing from my book, From Infinity to Infinity, and we'll have yoga, silent disco, vegan food. It's amazing. And then in October, we have Londrell. So he'll be coming through to play music off his album, Stay Free, and also share some of his poetry. So if those type of events are something you want to experience, make sure you go to dharmaglow.com and sign up for the email list. Stay tapped in. Once again, that is dharmaglow.com. Join our email list and you will get notifications when tickets go on sale and when we have other community events that you're not going to want to miss. All right, let's get into the episode. All right. Once again, we're back in the You Belong Here podcast studio space. Today I'm here with Jordan Wagner. Welcome.
It's an honor to be here. Thanks so much for having me, Dijon.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. I actually just connected with Jordan less than a week ago. He was the chef at a men's retreat that I was co-facilitating with some brothers. And I mean, the best part, not that there was a best part, but one of the best parts was the delicious meals that he was making for us that were just like really fresh, organic vegetables made with so much love. And even though the things were pretty simple, they like had this element of complexity and like intentionality that you can really like taste and like feel the energy of it. And it was very nourishing because we were doing a lot of deep work. So to be able to come back and like ground and have your presence be there with like your shining light was a pillar of the process.
Yeah, it was so special cooking for you guys, and you uplifted me to put the high vibrations into the food. Just never felt that level of appreciation for my food, except when we did the yum practice, infusing our energy into the food. That was new for me, and just a whole new level of immersing the high vibrations and gratitude into the food.
Yeah. And it really was powerful to nourish and replenish us. And I'm glad to have you on today, because what we're trying to spread in this podcast and through what we're all doing is a specific type of energy. And the vehicle for the energy doesn't really matter. Food is one, podcasting can be another. It's all a certain level of frequency that we're transmitting. But food is maybe the most universal one because everyone eats, right? And the choices we make about what we choose to eat and where we get that food from and how we prepare it, whether it's like the microwave versus the oven, and even the level of presence we bring to it, is all essential in how it nourishes us.
Yeah, one of my favorite quotes is, "Let thy food be thy medicine," by Hippocrates. And he said it so right with that quote. And what I've noticed as I've started paying more attention to my body and how I react to certain foods, raw versus cooked or whatever else, is just that high vibration you can have, or a little bit lower, slower vibration.
And do you remember, was there a specific inflection point when you became like more interested in food? You're like, hey, I'd like to be someone that provides this for other people.
Yeah, as I was young, about 7 years old, I started getting into cooking and just wanted to be of service, cooking food for my family and making things look nice. But where I really got into the healthier aspect of my life was probably about 25 years old or so. My brother and his wife, Nick and Kristen, they started presenting some plant-based documentaries, stuff about the treatment of animals and just what foods can align better with certain people. And I really took on to those teachings, and that was something I gravitated towards. So I started sourcing only organic food and eating plant-based and just discovering different superfoods that impact the body in a profound way.
Oh, that's super cool that you had your first memorable experience of it when you were 7. I feel like that, to me, signifies that it's like a calling.
Yeah, I would really say it was my dharma. And at one point, I had transitioned away from cooking a little bit, and we can definitely get into that, but had a very different career change that I got very close to doing. So really grateful I stayed on the service path and going with my dharma there.
Yeah, okay, perfect segue. So oftentimes I ask people to give me their life story in 3 minutes and 33 seconds. So yeah, if you want to take me through the highlight reel of how you became you now.
Yeah, I'd love to. So I grew up in Imperial Beach, San Diego, and really had a great upbringing there by the coast, going to the beach often, and eventually, you know, made my way over to central San Diego, La Mesa area, and went to high school and started getting into culinary arts big time there. I did 2 years of culinary arts training in high school. And then from there, I graduated and went to culinary school in San Francisco, which was just an awesome experience, and left all my friends and got established up there and developed into my spirituality and those teachings. And from there, I worked my way up in the culinary industry and settled down as a chef for San Diego University for a sorority. And I did that for about 5 years, got really into healthy cooking at that point. I was serving all plant-based, all organic options for the girls there, and just really blossomed into that. I did take a segue, which was a pretty big one. I was having a little bit of frustration in my career earlier on, just making my way up that chain and becoming a chef. So in about 2015 to 2016, I had begun the process of being a police officer for the San Francisco Police Department.
Oh, wow.
And
that's different.
That was different. And it was a call for me to be of service, to serve my community, to be that police officer that everybody looks up to and is really making an impact on other people's lives. And I did get that call up in 2016. I passed all the pre-training and just got called up there in the spring of 2016. And it ended up being one of those things where it was not a vibrational match once I made it to that point. What I could see is a lot of military-like training and breaking down the person. So I decided at that point that was not going to be for me and not something I would put my energy into, and made my way back to San Diego, got my job back. And from there, I really built up my career as a private plant-based chef, leading retreats, doing different spiritual work within the community, leading cacao ceremonies, and being of service to brothers and sisters.
Yeah, that's an interesting detour, because I definitely, the way your energy feels to me, cannot see you being a police officer.
Yeah, that's what most people said. My brother definitely tried to talk me out of that, but I was being stubborn, and it was a great experience for me. Like, I really overcame a lot to be a San Diego resident and get accepted up there in San Francisco and go through all that training. And to be honest, I was doing really well with everything, but I really trusted my gut there, and it did not feel good 3 or 4 days into the academy. And stuff I was learning about PTSD, and the first book they had us read was Emotional Survival for Law Enforcement. That's a sign if any are there for me.
Right. Yeah. I think it's cool that you, even though someone tried to talk you out of it, you went and tried to experience it for yourself, and then you got the confirmation from your own system that it actually wasn't right for you, because that's what life is about. We have to source our wisdom from experience. Otherwise, we're just listening to external sources.
So well said, brother. That was the exact experience I had, and I had to go through that, and the universe blessed me when I came back. I really got my career started as a plant-based culinary instructor, and all the private catering started coming in, the abundance, and I'd found where I wanted to be in my career. I needed to wait a little bit longer and be a little more patient, but that experience was profound for me on many different levels.
Yeah, and I think that's a great illustration that the path to your dharma or your purpose isn't a straight line, and perhaps it's not even a detour, because contrast often gives us more clarity to that which we actually do want, because we experienced, I really don't want that, or that really isn't the line for XYZ reasons, and this is, because it's the opposite of that, or whatever it is.
Yeah, it was one of those profound moments, and the stakes were high for me. I had a 1-year-old son at home, a 4-year-old daughter, and at that time I had, you know, created a plan with my wife at the time that she was going to hold down the base there, and I was going to go through the year-long academy up there away from the kids and transition us all up there and live there eventually up in the Bay Area. But I could see she was really having trouble with that role of taking care of both the kids herself and managing everything, and just had that perspective and clarity that this is not right on a lot of different levels. I can remember it clicked for me. I was sitting there in the academy day 3 or 4 in, and I just said, this is not going to be for me. And the next day I let him know respectfully and why. And there was an exact experience where it clicked, if you're interested in hearing that. We were all eating lunch in the cafeteria, which is pretty close to where all the officers eat. And everybody was asking me questions like, oh, you're a chef, Jordan, and can you get us healthier and all that? And there was a lot of excitement in the room, and I was really stoked on bonding with everybody. And I guess we got a little loud, and an officer came in the room screaming and yelling a lot of obscenities at the women, at the men, just pretty much saying, get out of here now. So he chased us out of the room. We all had to eat lunch on the curb. And I wish at that time I was the man I am now, because I would have for sure said something about how he was talking to women and just that degrading tone. I know it's the police academy, but you know, we're all humans here. We're all connected, and you can get your point across in different ways. So for me, just, I know there's a lot of good in law enforcement, but I didn't want to lose any of my consciousness and my vibration in going through that and getting to that point.
Yeah, that's very well said. Yeah, I have compassion for people that are in law enforcement and military, because it does seem like a universally traumatizing experience for anyone that's going through that process. And they get, there's a certain roughness that people like take on their being when they do that. And I feel like it's very hard to maintain that sense of ease and respect and softness that I feel like you embody very fully. Even though you're like a strong guy, and I saw you working out at the men's retreat. So it's, I know that you're not like a cupcake, like you're a full grown man.
Yeah, I really appreciate those kind words. I have so much compassion for military and first responders and what they go through. And this system that they go through is meant to break you down at a certain level and build you back up to their standards. That's a system a lot of people come into with very good intentions. I can honestly say I met some very genuine human beings in the academy, and most of these individuals were about anywhere from 20 to 25 years old, my age at the time. And really created some great connections, and everybody just wanted to be a service. And that's what I paid attention to and still remember in my heart.
I didn't know you had kids. You said they were 1 and 4 at the time. So how old are they now?
Yeah, my son James is 5 and my daughter Emma is 8. And they're a very big part of my life. I would say that I've built my schedule, my life around being the best father I can, having that quality time with them. I have them Monday through Thursday, so I'm the guy hustling and taking them to school and all that, and taking care of all the little things, but we really have some good times during the week. We'll water the garden together and create some dinners together, so it's the greatest blessing being a dad, that's for sure.
Mm. I'm very interested in being a father. It hasn't happened yet. Brother, do you have any advice about how to go about cultivating a relationship that can support bringing life into the world?
That is such a great question. What I would say is, individually first, before coming to that together with your partner, being of the highest vibration you can and being really clear on what you want to be for yourself, for your children, the impact you want to make on them, and where your heart is with those things. And when you come together with your partner, I think just being clear on your vision and how you guys are going to be navigating certain things that are a little more challenging in the world right now, because the most important thing is to be bringing these kids up in a good home and protecting them from anything that might be challenging for them to handle and could be unnecessary for them to have to go through some of the things that are going on in the world right now. So I think as the father, we really hold that sacred space of creating, bringing that family unit together, keeping it strong, being there for our kids and making sure, you know, there's no net unnecessary hurt or challenges for them. So that would be my advice. I know that was pretty deep, but for me as a dad, it's really challenging to watch some of the things that are going on in the school system and in the world these days, and having a little bit of control over things, but not having that full power to really protect them from what I see going on.
Right. That makes sense. I think this is definitely like the most complex time to be a parent probably that has ever existed, because there's so many things that people can tap into with a click of a button and like take them down a rabbit hole. And I know that the social media and internet can be very toxic for me, and I'm an adult, so I at least have awareness around it. And I remember a time, even though it feels like a long time ago, when those things didn't exist. So I have the wherewithal to just disconnect and unplug. But anyone that's being born now and going forward is being born fully in the matrix. So I've heard a lot of stories about the cyberbullying and just all the things that go on. I'm just like, wow, that's a really, that alone seems like a hard thing to keep a lid on as a parent.
Yeah, there's a lot to keep your eye on. And luckily with my kids, we live in the Cuyamaca Mountains, which is about an hour east of San Diego. And we have one TV, we don't have cable or anything like that, so it'd just be for documentary night, educational documentary. All that time is spent playing in the garden. They have a good friend who lives in the neighborhood, and they're always all playing around outside. So this is the childhood I wanted them to have, and I've worked pretty hard to set them up in that place and get established in the mountains. So really grateful for that, and I definitely keep my eye on the technology and potential radiation and stuff like that. But I will say that it's challenging to see the school systems moving to a lot of the internet-based learning, computer-based learning, especially when the schools were shut down, having the kids on Zoom and on there 7 to 8 hours a day listening to their instruction from the teacher.
Yeah, that's intense. I wouldn't want to do that. It doesn't seem like the immersive way. I feel like kids are very energetically sensitive and attuned. So yes, you're still getting energy when you're connecting with someone on Zoom, but nowhere near all the cues and the things you're getting in person, especially around a whole group of people. So yeah, it's wild out here. So you mentioned you're out in the mountains with your kids. What are some of your favorite activities to do with them?
Yeah, we are very blessed to have waterfalls, lakes, all kinds of mountain ranges nearby, some of the best hiking in San Diego. We live at 5,000 elevations, so we get snow all the seasons, and we get some really big snowstorms, several feet sometimes, so that will mean sledding a few times a year and having some snow days. We really like to go to the waterfall together, get in the water, and connect as a family. We always meet other nice families in the area and have play dates and those type of things. And one of the other things we love to do is cook together. My 8-year-old daughter, Emma, is getting really into cooking. She's had the opportunity to experience some of the cooking classes I teach when guests come to the house. And she's got to partake in some of the activities like rolling fresh spring rolls. So it's been beautiful to have my kids get involved in the cooking and see healthy, fresh food and where it comes from.
That's awesome that you're already passing on the love of cooking like that. What's one of your favorite dishes to cook?
Thai has always been one of my favorites. There's just so much you can do with it. Even just a curry, you can have red, green, Penang, or yellow curry. So it's also one of my most popular cooking classes I teach is the Thai cuisine. I like to experiment with curry types, different vegetables, flavors in there. So to give you an exact answer, I would say a coconut mango sweet potato yellow curry would be one of my favorites.
Sounds
mouthwatering.
Really good. Just the description of it, I'm like, yeah, I want that too.
What is one of your favorite things to cook or eat?
To eat, I would say things involving noodles. So the lo mein type of dishes. But I also like spaghetti and the Italian type of dishes with noodles and the Thai dishes. I don't make that type of food very much. If I'm cooking at home, it's usually like steaming or roasting vegetables and then just adding different spices that I find from the farmer's market. I've been really tapping into this pickled garlic that's super good that I get from the farmer's market. And then also, there's this woman, Kelly, who makes Kelly's croutons. They're so good, like vegan croutons. And then just different spice sets, so I just can mix it up and play with those things. So I'll just make like rice and veggies, like roasted veggies. So it's pretty simple, but it feels very nourishing and grounding.
Well, that sounds delicious. I'm with you there. I'm a pretty simple guy with what I eat. And as I pay more and more attention to my body, I'm really feeling that raw type lifestyle, the raw vegan, not necessarily limiting myself, but I'm really enjoying the vibration of eating all the colors of fresh raw fruits and all the different greens, and just that spectrum of colors and how you feel after is something I'm really attracted to. So I'm really dialing that in and how that can maybe be more of a lifestyle, eating that way consistently.
Totally. I've had long periods of time where I ate raw or mostly raw. And the energy that you have, the levels of energy that you have and the clarity is phenomenal. It's kind of can't be described in words. It's just something that has to be experienced. And what I've also been studying and learning is more about Ayurveda. I don't know if you're familiar with Ayurveda, but you eat based on your constitution, and your constitution changes at different points in your life and also throughout different times of the day and also by season, because we are nature, right? In the summer and spring, like the summer, for instance, is the ideal time to be eating raw because the external world is so hot and you don't need a lot of density to be weighed down. You need to be light. But like in the winter, for instance, you move more towards like stews and soups and root vegetables and things like that. And that makes sense to me, because why would nature make different things in different seasons? It's because we're supposed to eat what they're giving, what she's giving us at different times. And I love raw fruit, but I'm not like a huge fan of like raw broccoli or things like that. So just like lightly steaming those things or roasting them is feels right for the right time.
Yeah, I feel you on that. It can be eating with the doshas and following some of the Ayurveda remedies and prescriptions. I think that's really beneficial. Eating with the seasons does make a lot of sense, especially if you live in a cold region. Sometimes you need those stews to warm you up and those other different things. And eating raw, it seems like it's a lot of getting your digestive flow going. Getting that digestive fire is what I've heard, and maybe using some digestive bitters as needed to get things flowing more. But yeah, raw broccoli sounds like it's something that's a little tough to take with.
Yeah.
Anything can be done, I'm sure.
Yeah. I think that as I'm moving more into an embracing of the physical body as a pillar of the triangle of the mind, body, spirit, trinity, I relish the time I get to spend with my body, whether it's like taking a bath and then putting on my vata oil afterwards, or really luxuriating in the food that I'm eating and having it be like a sensory, pleasurable experience. Whereas before it was like, yes, the raw food is great for the energy levels and productivity, but I wasn't always as in much enjoyment in the consuming of the food as I would if it was like stuff you were making on the retreat. It's just an enjoyable experience. And I definitely overate at that retreat because I was enjoying the food so much. But I'm starting to accept that more and be like, I don't have to have a perfect diet or interaction. Like sometimes I'm just going to eat more because it tastes good, even if I'm full, because that's what I feel like doing.
I can certainly understand that. And I think what we're both touching on is balance.
Mm-hmm.
And listening to your body. Someone like me may be able to be successful with that or have the discipline, but I come across all different individuals with the cooking classes I teach. Some meat eaters, and that's totally okay. I drop some knowledge, and if they have questions about how I eat, I respectfully present it, and it usually inspires them and plants a seed. And as a culinary instructor, that's one of my greatest missions, to be of service in that way and just get people eating as healthy as they can and listening to their body. So whether that be eating one thing or another, I feel like we're all really doing our best at a deep level. So it's definitely an honor to have the ability to help people with learning how to cook, how to eat some of the superfoods. Had people recovering from cancer and different diseases come to my classes, and I'm not a medical professional, but was able to share a lot of information about superfoods and different things that could really give them a leg up in their energy levels and ability to get back to that normal feeling and routine in their life.
That's amazing that you can support people in that. What are all the ways in which you support people now? So obviously you do retreats because you did that. You said you do your classes, and what else?
Yeah. So, you know, my brother, his wife, Kristen, and my partner, Mary, we all do some of our own retreats, and that is called Ahimsa Collective. So we've had one retreat in our area so far, and we've really done a lot of different activities, but that one, for example, involved cacao ceremony in the garden. We all planted a plant of our choice in the garden. It was springtime at that time. And we hiked Stonewall Peak Mountain. We came back and had a plant-based meal at the waterfall. And we did some cold water therapy and breath work at Green Valley Falls. And that was about 35 degrees at the time, and all 15 people or so came in the water. We all connected, and after that, we went back home to the house for sound healing and sacred tobacco ceremony in the garden. So that's the kind of stuff I'm really passionate about, and I'm really getting into that retreat space. I'll be doing a retreat with some of my brothers in 2 weeks up in Lake Arrowhead. And that is through Just Breathe and Reconnect. That's a local community-based event here in San Diego that happens every month, and that will involve stuff like sound healing, breath work, cold water therapy, just community connection, yoga, qigong. So it's really an honor getting into that space of facilitating retreats and serving up cacao for these monthly events. So I would say where I'm at is just serving in the best capacity as I can in the chef role and expanding my horizons with some of the healing work, working with plant medicines and spiritual work with the community.
That's amazing, brother. Thank you for sharing all that. And thank you for just being who you are, just sitting in this room with you. Your energy is like a soothing water. It's just like very calm and I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's special being around you. And when I met you at the retreat, we instantly had a connection and we looked eye to eye and just were able to connect on that soul level. And I feel your energy and I can sense all the spiritual preparation and work you've done in this lifetime. And it's just wonderful to connect here on this platform.
Thank you for that reflection. And it's been a journey to get to this place. And I was having a conversation with one of the brothers from the retreat. And I do, at this point in my life, feel like I have a certain level of like spiritual clarity that I did not have earlier. Like I know myself, I know my purpose. Of course, my ego still comes out, but I'm usually able to recognize it pretty quickly. And even just energetically tune into when it's causing discord in a relationship and take more responsibility quicker than making stories about this person's doing this or whatever. I'm just like, okay, this is time to do a little bit of shadow work and explore. And it's fulfilling deeper relationships and I'm able to make connections that are deeper, faster, and aligned. Because we just met less than a week ago and now we're creating something that we hope will inspire other people. And that's amazing to be able to do that.
Absolutely. And you know, when you connect with someone and you know that there is a divine connection, a lot of things can happen, such as this, meeting less than a week ago and being here, having a deep talking connection like we've known each other forever. I think that's one of the things with that spiritual path, the deeper and deeper we go and where we're at in the world right now, I think we're all past focusing on superficial things and it's, we're awake, we're focused on serving humanity, at least myself. I'm here to serve the collective and connect with amazing individuals such as yourself.
Right on, brother. Ashe, could you let people know how they could connect with you if they feel inspired to after hearing all this?
Absolutely. So for cooking classes, catering, anything like that, or just connecting, my Instagram would be great. It is namastechef9. And for any further information on Ahimsa Collective, that would be www.ahimsacollectivesd.com. And there you can connect with my sister, Kristen, who is a Reiki healer. She does sound healing and she's very involved in health coaching. Most of my family and my partner, we're all doing healing work. However, we can be of service. You can connect there and see future retreats and those type of things.
Love it, brother. I'm excited for the co-creations that I know are in store for us. And thank you so much for coming on today.
Thanks for having me, Dijon. Love you, brother.
Love you too. Peace and love, family. Fam, I hope you enjoyed that episode of Dharma Glow. We're here to inspire you and to elevate your consciousness so that you can live a life that leaves a legacy of love. If you enjoyed what you heard here today, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, sign up for the email list at dharmaglow.com, and stay connected. Spread the word, because what we're doing here is essential to the formation of New Earth. As long as we stay connected, we can't lose. Much love. This is Dijon. I'm out.